That's good singing, James. James is sitting there singing, standing on the promises. And he's going to be standing someday with the Lord. You can count on that. Ephesians chapter 1. Yeah, we love this book, don't we? We usually spend all of our time the first 14 verses and never get to the second half, don't we? Well, let's look at it again. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints at Ephesus, or Rocky Mount, the faithful in Christ Jesus. By the will of God, you're a saint of God. Sanctified, chosen of God. In Christ. Grace to you, all grace. God of all grace. Peace from God our Father through Christ, from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's made him your Lord, your King. Blessed, oh blessed. Verse 3, blessed. Blessed be the name of our God and Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, his firstborn, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings. All blessings. Oh, we have many material blessings, don't we? My mother and I were going to the store yesterday, and we were talking about what a blessing to be able to go in there and just buy anything you want to eat. We're so blessed with all material blessings, aren't we? So God's seed, God's people never go hungry, ever, never be without. But now, Paul is writing about spiritual blessing. Spiritual blessing, greatest blessings of all. And they're all in Christ. And heavenly things. Things you're enjoying a little bit right now, although the flesh is giving you problems right now. You can't enter in. You couldn't sit in that seat. You couldn't sit still if you could really enter into all of this, like we ought to. You couldn't see me. You'd be jumping up here. But, and we see through a glass dimly, don't we? Darkly. We do see a little bit. These spiritual blessings in heavenly things, then they're in Christ. And number one, according as God had chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. God's people, bless God for his sovereign electing love and mercy and grace, don't we? What the world hates, God's people are so thankful for. We all know if he hadn't chosen me, we wouldn't have chosen him. And he did this that we might be holy and without blame before him in love. It's the only way we're going to be holy. The only way we're going to be without blame is because he's able. He's the only one able to present us faultless before the presence of God. And he did this in love to his people. And he shed abroad the love of God in our hearts for him and his son and his gospel. He predestinated us. I like that. Predetermined. We have a predetermined destiny. I like that. But it doesn't depend on me. I really don't have to worry about messing it up. He predestinated adoption of children by Jesus Christ. If God could have chosen anybody. Oh, if he chose you. You see your calling, don't you? He did this by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. It's to the praise of the glory of his grace wherein God hath made us accepted in the beloved. They're accepted in him. All that love his son, all that believe his son, all that come to God by his son are accepted. There's nothing acceptable about any human being. God looked down upon the sons of men and said they're altogether worthless. But God, that's chapter 2, rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, brought us to hear the gospel, hear Christ, and trust in his son, and call on God through his son, and God said, accept it. Come on in. Oh, it's to the praise of the glory of his grace, isn't it? In Christ, we have redemption. Like Ruth, he's bought us. I didn't quote that verse at the end of Ruth, so I'm going to quote it now. When Boaz was talking about Ruth to all the elders and everybody, he's talking like he owned her. He said, I bought Ruth. I bought her to be my bride. Well, you didn't ask Ruth. Don't have to. I bought her to mine. She's going to be glad. And see, we're not our own. We're bought with a price. And God did this. Christ did this. They all did this before the world began. God called your name to Christ before the world began and wrote your name in his palms. God said, think about this now. Think about it. God said to his son, you go to earth and you say, Mary Parks, that girl from Tennessee, you save her. Christ said, I will. Put your name there. Wrote your name in his son. And he's going to save him. Like David. He's not going to lose a woman. In whom, verse 7, we have redemption bought with his blood, his own blood, the forgiveness of sins. God, all manner of sin forgiven. He said to that woman who'd wasted her whole life, thy sins be forgiven thee. Every one of them. Covered. Isn't that wonderful? Past, present, and future. There's more to come. I wish it weren't so. But I'm sure glad it's so that Christ, we have forgiveness through him. According to the riches of his grace, he said. I don't know if he'll forgive me. Hold on now. He's rich in forgiveness. He got a large heart. Verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence made known unto us. We can have the wisdom of God made known unto us, the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself before the world began. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he would gather together in one all things in Christ, both in heaven, which are on the earth, even in him, gathered together a people out of every kindred, nation, tongue under heaven. And I believe I'm one of them. That's amazing. In Christ, to worship him, exalt him, to love him. In whom, Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, verse 11. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. An inheritance. Nothing in this world, nothing in this life is going to last. It's all going to perish. Every bit of it. But we have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, in heaven, waiteth for us in glory. And we just haven't, it hasn't entered into our eyes and our minds and our hearts like it's going to. A little bit, but not like when we get there. I love to think about, I'm a loss for words right now. Because it talks about unspeakable. There's going to be silence for 30 minutes. When everybody's gathered together, when the whole, everybody's there, all the saints gathered together. And there sits our Lord on the throne. And there we are looking at each other like we're doing now. We're all going to, you know, I say this all the time. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I'm here. He did this for me. I'm one of his people. I get to do this forever. In whom we have this inheritance. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, he said. That's what we do, really. Don't we, Brother Patrick? That's what we do. We give him all the glory. We really do. Well, that's why he saved us. Who first trusted in Christ, our Lord God entrusted his Son with us. And we, verse 13, in whom we trust also. After we heard the word of truth, what grace What mercy that God sends us the truth when so many people want and believe a lie. You know that? They turn away their ears from the truth. Under paper. Don't tell me the truth. But what do we say? Please tell me the truth. Even if it hurts me. If it debases me. If it humbles me. Good. And we're sealed. Look, I like this. Sealed. With that Holy Spirit of promise. Pitched. Who is it puts the blood of Christ on his pitch? The Spirit of God. Sealed. Like old Noah in that ark. Lord, shut him in. You know, we're shut up to Christ, aren't we? Shut up to faith in him. The Spirit of God does that. And this is the earnest, the Holy Spirit we're going to have with us all of our days. It's proof, it's earnest of our inheritance. Proof that we belong to him. He takes the things of Christ and the gospel of Christ, the truth of Christ, and shows them unto us, and we rejoice in him and lay hold of him, believe him and look to him, rejoice in him, and he's our all. You know the end of this verse. Let me quickly get to the end. The very last words are all in all. All in all. It's all about Christ, isn't it? And us being in Christ. Because Christ is all in all. So Paul says now in verse 15, this is where he starts praying. He says, wherefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, I heard of your faith and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. When I heard that you believed, Paul went to Ephesus. Remember, it was an idolatrous town. Remember, they all worshiped Diana, like people worship Mary. And but God saved some of them out of that idolatry, didn't he? Turned them to the living from God, from their idols unto Christ. Took them out of that, chose them, elected them, chose them. And brought them out, and they heard the gospel, and they believed. Faith is a miracle. Look at verse 19. It says, you believe according to the working of his mighty power. When you hear that somebody has confessed Christ in believer's baptism, don't you rejoice? Huh? It's a miracle. A miracle of God's grace that anybody believes. What if I told you one of our wayward children believes and confessed Christ? That's the greatest news you ever hear. Paul said, when I heard of your faith, it's a precious thing. Those who have obtained like precious faith with us, Peter wrote. And love? See, the greatest, now abideth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Love for who? Love for God. People don't love God as God, do they? They love their imagination of God. They love a God the way they want him to be. Now, God is how he is. He said, I am that I am. And God's people, he puts this love for him in them, and they love that he's God. They love that he's God. They love his salvation. They love that it's in his hands. All of it. They love his glory. They love his reign, his sovereign rule over us, they said. Don't let me or anybody else have any power or rule at all, Lord. Reign over us. And all the psalms, they say it over and over again. The Lord reigneth. Tell my people, the Lord reigneth. And they all say, hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. All power. Oh, man. I heard of your love unto all the saints. Supernatural love. It's supernatural love. It's God-given love to love God's people over and above your family. When you leave your father and your mother and your husband, wife, and son or daughter for Christ and his people, like Ruth said, I'm not going back to my mother, and I'm not going back to my gods, and I'm not going back there. Your God is my God, and your people are my people, and I'm going to die right there with them. Now, that's what he does to everyone of his people. No exceptions. And they don't think they've made a bad bargain at all. They bless the Lord for giving them that love. All the saints. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. You see, Paul wrote this, and I was going to have you turn to Colossians, to Philippians, to Colossians, to 1 Thessalonians, to 2 Thessalonians, and on it goes. Every single epistle says, I'm bound to give thanks to God, brethren of the beloved Lord, for you. False prophets, false preachers thank people for what they do for God. That's how you know they're false. Well, the true ones thank God for them being His people. We don't beg and plead and thank people for coming to worship God. It's a privilege. It's a high honor. It's a heavenly calling. It's a blessed, undeserved, unworthy privilege we get to come and hear this blessed gospel and believe.
That's right. Amen.
Everybody's not given that. It was a time I didn't have it. It was a time I didn't want this. But blessed be His holy name. There's nothing I'd rather do than this. What? Worship my God. Worship His Christ. Hear of His voice. Do you love hearing this message of Jesus Christ? Tell it again, preacher, like Rahab. Sound it louder. My redemption's drawing nigh. Oh, I give thanks to God for you. And part of the way you really know you love somebody is when you pray for them. And Paul said, I pray for you. That the God, and here's what he prayed for. Several things here. Verse 17. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. You see what respect and what reverence and what fear Paul has for God. For Christ, the way he speaks of him. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Brother Cody Gruber, wasn't he a lovely man? Wasn't he a faithful preacher of the gospel? He always said, when he mentioned our Lord, he always used all three names, the Lord Jesus Christ. Made it sound like one name. It is. He's not who he is without all those three things. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the sound of it. The God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that He may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Turn quickly to 1 Corinthians 1. This is the only other scripture. Maybe. I think that I'll have you turn to it. But 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. How blessed we are if we see that the wisdom of this world is utter foolishness. You know that? The whole world is hoping in and trusting in mankind's wisdom to get us out of all the troubles we're in. Vain is the help of man. David wrote, put them in fear, O Lord, that they may know themselves to be just men. But they that trust in the Lord, here's wisdom, the fear of the Lord to begin with. And you won't fear man. And you really won't fear what the Lord sends to you. Because that perfect love will cast out that fear. Now here's wisdom. Look at verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved is the power of God. Read on. He says, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise. I'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Bring them on. Where is the scribe, so-called Bible scholar? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. The Jews a stumbling block, the Greeks foolishness. But unto us, unto them which are called, Jews and Greek, Christ is the power of God and what? The wisdom of God. Paul prays that God will, the God of glory will give unto us a spirit of wisdom. That's the spirit of Christ. Spirit, the Holy Spirit of, takes the things of Christ and shows them unto us. That Christ is our wisdom. He's made unto us wisdom. Isn't it? Now here's a wise man, Proverbs 8, he says, they that know me, they that believe me, they that trust me, have all things. Wisdom and revelation. They reveal unto us Christ. Reveal Christ in me. Paul, you know, he thought he was somebody. He thought he could do some things, all things. Thought he was righteous. Thought he was this. Thought he was that. When Christ came to him, he realized he was nothing. Made him show that he was nothing. And here's how he put it. When it pleased God to reveal his Son in me, he said, then I didn't want to hear anything else. I was determined not to know anything else. I wasn't taken up with anybody or anything else but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's wise. Because everything else will come to naught. But not Him. And those in Him. The revelation and knowledge of Him. And it is what John wrote in his epistle, nearly the last verse. He said, oh, the Son of God has come and given us an understanding. That we might know Him that is true, and we're in Him that is true. So Paul says, I pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him whom to know is to have eternal life. Verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. God has to open blind eyes, doesn't He? What blinds us? The world? The world is blinded by this world. The world is blinded, is in darkness. They're blinded by things. They're blinded by what they see. God has given us spiritual eyes. We see that the things that are seen are temporal. Things that are unseen are eternal. And faith is evidence of things not seen. I believe more fully in things I don't see. I don't trust anything I do see or hear. Do you? I don't trust what anybody's saying. But Him, is that right? Is that really the way you feel? Yeah, blessed you are. You know how many people think this is a pack of nonsense? How many think what I'm doing is utter foolishness? That's what they all said to Noah, wasn't it? They said to his sons and daughters-in-law, said, you're fools following your father-in-law, your father. That's an old fool, that Noah. Well, God's not like that. Yeah, blessed we are to be in Christ. Be found. We want to be found in Him. Old Shem said, well, I'll just have to be a fool. Because I want to be in that ark when that wrath comes down. Isn't it? And so I'm going to stay as close to that ark as I can get till that day. Didn't he? Japheth. Well, how blessed we are to know that salvation's in Him. Our eyes have been opened, enlightened. What enlightens the eyes? What is it that opens the eyes? What is it that opens blind eyes and deaf ears? What is it? God's Word. God's Word. Christ, which is Christ. That's what Christ did when He was here as a man. He opened blind eyes. He opened deaf ears. He loosened tongues. And the entrance of thy word, David said, giveth light. When God sends the word, or rather, when we see Christ as all in all, now we have lights. Now we understand, don't we? Now we understand the reason for all things. Why? Because Christ is all. And we're in Him. And read on. It says, oh, that you might know what is exceeding, oh, wait a minute. What is the hope of his calling, verse 18. The hope of his calling. Look at chapter 4, verse 4. Just one page over. There's one body, one Holy Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. Has he called you? Has the Lord God called you by this gospel? Our gospel. This gospel. Not another. This gospel. Have you been called? Do you know what hope you have then? You have no hope in yourself. There's no hope in anything about you. In any man, in anyone, anything, in yourself, no hope. But if he's called you by this gospel, I'm here to tell you from his word, you're one of his. You belong to him. And he's going to keep calling you. And keep calling. Though, like your animals, with yours excluded, Sarah, though your animals run away from you, you love them, don't you? What are you going to do? You're going to keep calling them. You're going to keep calling them. You're going to keep calling them. And if they won't come, you're going to fetch them. And you'll never cast them out. That's the hope of his calling. He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. All we like sheep have gone astray. All those psalms that David wrote, 150 psalms. And all in Psalm 170, Psalm 119, 175 verses. All his hope is in God's word. God's word. And in the end, he said, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. He says, find me. Seek me. He will. He called you in the beginning. He keep calling in the end. Oh, the hope of his calling. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Like we were trying to say. I can't tell you. I can't show you. You can try. We don't have eyes and ears to see it. Like old Abraham's servant going to get a bride for Isaac. He said had all the riches of his master on him, with him, in his pockets. And all of them? It wasn't even close. He had a token of each, you know. Here's a bracelet. Here's an earring. Here's this. Here's that. Tell me about your master. Well, I can try. But you're going to have to see him. The riches of the glory. Scripture talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Like the Queen of Sheba. She heard of Solomon. And she finally came to see him. There's no more spirit left in. She was silent for 30 minutes. She said, the half was never told me. I didn't believe it until I came. Oh, the glory of his inheritance. Verse 19. And I pray that you might know what is exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Brothers and sisters. Our Lord has all power. Power to save. Power to heal, power to forgive, power to forget, power to cleanse, power to justify, sanctify, redeem, power to keep you from falling. You are going to fall. Yes, you are. We all are. We're going to fall. Proverbs says, though a righteous man falleth 7 times, the Lord will uphold him. He will pick him up every time because he's able to keep us from falling. He's able to say. He's able to say to the uttermost. He's able. We are kept by the power of God. Isn't that good news? Oh my. He's able. The exceeding greatness. His power exceeds any power. To us who believe according to the working of that mighty power. We believe according to that power. Stay with me. I'm almost finished. It says this power, verse 20, he worked in Christ when he raised Christ from the dead. Now, our Lord died, and the brethren, the disciples saw him dead. They saw all the blood go out of his body. And they saw a soldier, a centurion, go up and rip his side wide open. And it just gushed blood and water out of there. And he's dead. He's dead. And they saw them take down his, saw Nicodemus and Joseph take down his lifeless body and carry that body and wrap it up. And they saw him put it in a tomb. He's dead. And they knew it. And they were sad. They sorrowed. Oh, did they sorrow, just like we do when we see the lifeless body of someone we love put in that ground. He's dead. But as sad as they were, 3 days later, he came walking into the room. And there was silence for 30 minutes. He's alive. He's alive. That's what Mary went running back. He's alive. He said that. We didn't believe. But he is. He's alive. Who can do that? God. He wasn't just a man. He's the Son of God, you see. He said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down myself. I have this power. He said, I have power to take it up again. And brothers and sisters, he's quickened us together with Christ. You're looking at a man that was dead. Dead, my dad, my mother, everybody tried to talk to me. I'm blind, I'm deaf, I'm dumb, I'm dead. I'm in this world, I'm alive to the world, but dead to the things of God. We can't do anything with him. God, help him. God, speak to him. We can't do it. Exert your power, exert your gospel, open his blind eyes. He did. The same power that raised Christ from the dead raised me from the dead. And someday, you're not going to believe this, though I told you. One of these days, that body that put in that grave, it doesn't matter how long it's been in there, thousands of years, and it's just dust. That body, Christ is going to call, it's going to come out of that grave. Now that's power. Yeah. He has all power. He said, that's power. You see. And he set Christ at his right hand, and we were seated with him. Far above all principality. Look at it. Paul just, he's beside himself now. Oh, it's all principality and power and might and dominion. Every name is named in this world and that which is to come. He put all things under his feet. Gave him to be the head. He's the head. Aren't you glad? Gave him, and this is how this reads, verse 22. Gave him the head over all to the church. You see, gave him to the church. Gave him to us to be our head, to be our Lord, to be our Redeemer. What a gift. What an unspeakable gift. Oh, how we hold up the head, exalt the head, worship the head of our Lord, confess our sins on his head. You see, we're his body. One. I want you to know. I want you, Paul said, I pray for you. I want you to know this. I want you to understand this. Get it through your head. But more importantly, your heart. Know this, that you are his body. And not a bone of his body will be broken, be severed from you, be cut off. You say, if I'm the body, I'm a little toe. Okay. You're not going to lose a little toe. See, if I'm a toenail, I'm a hangnail. I ain't going to cut you off. but what? I want you to realize that if you love Christ, if you love the truth, if you look to Christ and Him only, you've been called. You've been chosen. You've been sanctified. You're loved of God. He's given you to Christ, and He cannot fail. He will bring you to Him, to God someday, and present you faultless before His presence in glory, to the praise of the glory of His grace. He's put you in Christ. You know, He's made Christ your all and in all. Well, that's all I got to say. That's our prayer, isn't it? That's our prayer. As Paul said, oh, that we might know Him, power of His resurrection, fellowship of His Son, be found in Him. And in Him. Okay. Brother John, you come. Lead us closing.